This is Senior Talk, presented by Gentle Shepherd Home Care on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk, right here and only on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. I'm Dan Wilson, your host of Senior Talk. Senior Talk is brought to you in part by our sponsors, Affordable Medical Supply and Gentle Shepherd Home Care. Visit Affordable Medical Supply online today at affordablemedmart.com or by phone at 719-632-4036. You can find out more information about Gentle Shepherd Home Care online today at gshc.com or by calling 719-359-8371. Well, this is Dan Wilson, your host of Senior Talk. I'm with Gentle Shepherd Home Care, and I am incredibly excited to have Jennifer Horn in the studio today. If I had the studio, I'd do the applause in the background. Actually, maybe we should add that. Very excited to have you again from Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging.
Correct.
Jennifer, it's nice for you to come in. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Oh, I'm very excited. Very excited. This is a good thing. So this week is a little bit of a departure. Mm. We typically have people who represent a company, and that is the main reason that they're on. However, every once in a while, kind of like last week, we had a replay of Kent Matthews. Mm-hmm. And he always brings a topic that is really pertinent to life as a senior in Southern Colorado. And I think we get to do that again today. The topic is can go through diversity, equity, and inclusion, or sexuality in seniors. But the topic is, we're going to talk about something that's not super comfortable for a lot of people. But the hope is, based on our conversations up till now, the hope is we will be able to have a conversation in an open-handed way, so that we can be united as a community rather than spurred to be divided.
Absolutely.
Think we can pull that off, Jennifer?
I do, yes.
I believe in us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. All right. Can I ask you to begin with, can you just give us an overview, give the listeners an overview, who you are, how you got with the Pikes Peak Area Agency, how you got into this line of work, and what you're doing specifically around these topics?
Okay, yeah. So, like Dan said, my name is Jennifer Horn. I am a social worker, and I actually ended up working at the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging because it was my second year internship. And I started part-time, then full-time. And I've been working with them because I focus more on diverse groups of seniors living with various barriers and challenges based on their history.
So just in case somebody just had alarm bells going off in the term diversity, that just means people who aren't always like me.
Right.
Okay.
And you think of it like, you know, evolution, right?
Ooh.
We have to have diversity. We have to have variation, because you can't have the same thing, or else they'll be starting to have like problems.
The fact that we're all different is what makes it beautiful.
Exactly. Exactly.
I get that.
Yeah.
So you're a social worker with the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging.
Yes.
Actually, it's the
Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center, and I am a care planner. Yes, it's a mouthful.
It is, but we get to say it a lot this month, which is kind of fun. It's the Area Agency on Aging Month. Let's give a little bit of a big picture, since we're talking about things that are atypical. The Area Agency on Aging is something that a lot of your funding comes out of the Older Americans Act from the late 90s. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so the government funds go to help seniors in the different areas of their stages of aging.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And each county, each state, by law, has to have an Area Agency on Aging representing various regions, and they have to have a National Family Caregiver Support Center, because there is a program that's funded with that through the Older Americans Act. So the more we see seniors coming in requesting services, the more we can request for additional grant funding. It's based on numbers, of course. So if you're hiding and you don't think you want to come and ask a simple question or just check to see what resources are out there, then it's going to be difficult to kind of get more funding.
Your lead-in is beautiful. I know we're going to come back to that. For anyone who may have thought, well, why would you possibly ever do that?
Yeah.
How could that possibly be a benefit? That will be answered shortly. So the topic of your specialty is generational trauma in the context of history and social. Actually, that's a terrible topic in the way that I spoke it. But it's can you say it, generational trauma?
So yeah, it's kind of like foundational knowledge of understanding why a lot of agencies and organizations are pushing for what would be DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and not really giving people context and reasoning as to why we're requesting all of these changes. So the way I developed it is I talk about the transmission of generational trauma and how that can impact individuals' behaviors in their life and how they seek out services, and then understanding the importance of historical and social context. Because without context, you're not really understanding why pushing for representation is important, right? Like, you want seniors to represent the senior community. So if there's an issue going on in your community and you're not being included, well, we're not being very inclusive, we're not being very diverse, and it's not equitable. So it's not always just about race.
Yeah.
It's about a combination of things.
So inclusion in this setting with the Area Agency on Aging would include seniors identifying themselves as being seniors, even if they're living in their kid's house, because that gives money from taxes to be designated for senior care rather than going to something else.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So you brought up race. And I'd like, if you would, the idea of a census. When the idea of me not answering honestly on who I am or whatever, that I am a white man who's in his 50s. I never would have thought, why would I not answer that honestly?
Right, right.
But I'm also a white man that a little over 100 years ago, if you and I were sitting in the same room in a different geographical part of this same continent, you would have been considered 3/4 of a person or 5/8 of a person.
Right.
As disgusting as that is for me to hear it coming out of my mouth
look
you in the eye. And it makes me anxious.
No, don't be anxious.
No, I know. You're beautiful. You're great. No, but that's the reality.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
So it is.
It's uncomfortable.
Well, it's and it's scary to even talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing something wrong to identify that that's a real part of the country I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my push is acknowledgement, being aware, right? Understanding that now you do understand and you know why representation of various ethnicities and races is important, because we all have different histories.
Ethnicity, race, and that would go over beyond just ethnicity and race. That's something that is very visually evident as we are sitting here across from each other. And that feeds a little bit into the concept we talked about, the census.
Yeah.
Why would someone not? And when we were talking before the show, you mentioned your grandma.
Yes. Yes. So my grandmother, she is 93 years old, lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
What's her name?
Kathleen Horn.
Kathleen Horn.
Yes.
Cheers,
Mrs.
Kathleen Horn.
Yes.
Mrs. Horn.
Yeah, my grandfather was the first black lieutenant at the Tulsa Police Department.
Can you say that again slower?
Oh, yeah. I said my grandfather, Kermit Horn, was the first black lieutenant with the Tulsa Police Department. And his mom, my great-grandmother, Mary Horn, was the first black female police officer with the Tulsa Police Department. So,
were they there
during the
riot?
My grandmother, I believe,
during the Tulsa riot.
Well, we did lose property. Yes, we lost property. They put the highway, the expressway, through our property line.
Your family's property line?
Yeah, my family. So if anybody's interested in doing some digging, you can go to the Tulsa Police Department. You can go to Greenwood Rising, the museum on Block Wall Street, and my grandmother, my great grandmother Mary Horn, is in there. Mary Beulah Horn, and her family came from Texas. And they were pushed out of Texas because they wanted their land. So then they came over in a horse and buggy to Oklahoma. Yeah. My great-great or great-great-great-grandmother, Phoebe Tate, was a former slave. And she was a part of actually the Juneteenth, the ones that were freed after the fact of Galveston. Yeah. So there's a lot of history.
So the person you're referencing... Her, your grandma's name again?
My grandma is Kathleen Horn.
Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful name. Her grandma?
Her grandmother was a sharecropper.
Okay.
Yeah. But her mother-in-law.
Okay.
Was the first black police officer.
I had no idea until just now, and it's fitting for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because you're the, why is it that Ms. Horn, your grandma,
mm-hmm.
would pause or hesitate or encourage you or her family to not engage in a census?
Because so with the census, it's compared to a slave count is how my side of the family looks at it. And when I talk to a couple other individuals who happen to be black, it's kind of the same belief or concept of, well, why do you want to know how many people are in my house? Why do you need to know their ages? What is this information going to go for? What are we going to do with it? And since nobody really explains to people that the census really helps us get funding, yeah. We wouldn't then, you know, then perhaps maybe people would start answering honestly, but it's really deeply rooted in generations that's a questionable action, the census, right?
Yeah.
Like wanting to know how many people are in your home. And then again, we talked, you're only 3/5 of a person. So like, what do you do? Why do I want to put that in there? Why do I want them to know how many people are in my home? What if they come in and they take them? So there's a lot of mistrust, misinformation within the government. And the census is a big one. Like, I up until I was probably 18, I kept being told, they don't need to know how many people are in this house. They don't know. They don't need to know who's here. And nobody ever explained to me why they were skeptical about filling out a census report. But after talking, because you have to have those conversations, right?
Yeah.
Having those conversations, then you find out, oh, this is why you wouldn't want to do the census.
Generational trauma is rarely talked about by the one who was traumatized.
Exactly.
There's documentaries on the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I think is so interesting is when you watch those documentaries, the children of the participants in the Holocaust say they never talked about it.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Because it's just, it's inhuman to think that's possible.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that I could go through my daily life if I saw everybody that way.
Right.
Because it'd be just such a big wall. So generational trauma in the context of history and societal in our society, it's a lot broader
mm-hmm.
than what a typical newsreel would give for diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yeah. And then, you know, and also talking with my mom's in her 60s, and explaining to her, you know, about generational trauma as a boomer, she said, well, you know, a lot of us boomers aren't really accepting this generational trauma. And I asked her to kind of explain, what do you mean? And she said, well, it makes it seem like our children aren't taking accountability for their actions and behaviors. And I said, well, the children are blaming the parents? And she said, yeah. I said, no, Mom. I said, when I'm talking about generational trauma, I'm talking about centuries of trauma compounded on top of each other and being put into families by way of communication, behaviors, the way you see the world, your perspectives. And so trying to explain it to her in that way, she understood better versus me saying, just because I do something bad, I'm not going to blame it on trauma from my mom, right? It just gives me more understanding as to who she is as a person and why she behaves or why she says things that she says, because then it's based on how she was raised. And my grandmother on my mom's side is from England, right? So, and she's white and had an interracial marriage. And came to the States, you know, and they couldn't go to the South because they were married and it was illegal still.
And so, what year was that?
My uncle, I think, was born in 60-something, mid-60s, I think. And my mom was born in 1959 in England. Then they, you know, Air Force went from England to Canada, Canada to California, California to Colorado, I think, somewhere in there. But because the Loving case still hadn't been presented, so they were still married during that era, which isn't that long ago. If people really sit down and look at that, you know, it wasn't until the 60s that people were yelling and screaming and demanding to have voting rights and equal rights.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I know a lot of people say that we have changed progressively in the world. But I always like to challenge them and ask them, in whose perspective have we changed?
And we will come back to that. I can, oh goodness, do not say sorry for one piece of what we're talking about. The goal for this conversation is clarity and comfort. Now, I don't mean comfort like you're going to feel like you want to go run in a field of roses, but there's a place for truth to have. And the irony is, as I hear you talk about Ms. Horn, your grandma, as her perspective, the same perspective she presents are the same perspective I hear from people on the other side of the aisle about why they want little government.
Yeah.
And ironically, I think a lot of us are pulling for the same thing. We're just told we're enemies.
Exactly.
So on that cliffhanger, we will come back and have more than one laugh, hopefully, as we come back, because this is heavy. But thank you so much, Jennifer. Absolutely. We'll be right back.
There's one place in Colorado Springs for all of your medical needs, and that's Affordable Medical Supply. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find at the corner of Circle and Constitution. They carry wheelchairs, walkers, knee scooters, full electric hospital beds, mobility equipment, lift chairs, and much, much more, even the harder to find items. Visit their showroom today on the corner of Circle and Constitution, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., or give Affordable Medical Supply a call today at 719-632-4036. Our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care let seniors stay safe and independent in their own home. As we get older, a little bit of help goes a long way, whether it's a friendly face checking in or someone to help with daily tasks like bathing or dressing, meal preparation, and more. If you're looking for options to assist yourself or an aging loved one stay safe at home, Gentle Shepherd Home Care is Colorado Springs' premier and locally owned senior care provider. Give our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care a call today at 719-359-8371. Affordable Medical Supply is Colorado Springs' one-stop shop for all of your medical needs. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find on the corner of Circle and Constitution, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. From post-op supplies, compression socks, bathroom safety, braces, scooters, wheelchairs, and more, Affordable Medical Supply has a knowledgeable staff that leaves you feeling confident on how to use your equipment right. Visit Affordable Supply today or give them a call at 719-632-4036. Affordable Medical Supply.
Welcome back to Senior Talk. I'm your host, Dan Wilson, with Gentle Shepherd Home Care, here with Jennifer Horn, MSW, with the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging.
Family Caregiver
Support Center. Many other acronyms.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Yes.
So we pulled up generational trauma in the first half, and this second half, I know, man, we talked about race, slavery. This topic came into being for today, not because of any of that.
Right.
It came into being because you run a group of seniors, and I think you go through books and you have topics and you walk through it with them. LGBTQ is the framework of the group, but it's senior specific.
Senior specific, yeah, absolutely.
Do tell.
So what we've noticed is that we have a lot of LGBTQ older adults, and we're very good at hiding. And I say we because I'm a part identify with the LGBT community. We're good at hiding, we're good at adapting, and we're good at heteropassing.
Heteropassing. Does that mean you pass as a hetero?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heteropassing is like, I will just present myself. Just as the same as like when people would say, oh, you're passing because you may be a person of color, but you look like a non-person of color. Same concept, except it would just be on sexuality.
So I was ignorant of that term, but now I'm not.
Yeah.
So ignorance is overcomable.
Oh, yes.
But it's that.
Communication.
Yeah.
And conversations. But yeah, so the group is 55 and over. It's in Pueblo, Colorado at the SRDA, the Senior Resource Center. And we focus on books that are either fiction or nonfiction and written by authors from diverse backgrounds, right? So we try to focus on LGBTQ authors, and we try to focus on authors of color. And mainly we've been like looking at also banned books, right? Like, if you're banning this book, why are you banning the book? So let's read the book together and have a conversation about it.
And so the concept, banned books aren't banned for adults. Banned books are banned
for the kids and for the high schools.
So if there's a book you're bringing up or an author, that's something there. It's not against the law
for
people to go and get that and actually read it.
No, because I went online and ordered all the books that they had listed as banned. So to try to figure out, well, why are you banning it? Right. And what we've learned is, you know, the first book we read was The Well of Loneliness, and that was written by Radcliffe Hall in the early 1920s, and it was banned, I believe, overseas. And it's about an individual person growing up, not sure of who they are, trying to navigate society, right? Trying to figure out what box do I fit in? And if I don't fit in this box, then something must be wrong with me. But nothing's wrong with that person. They're just trying to navigate their way through life. And that parallels with my group members. So then we pair the book discussions with also some support group, right? To help process, because there are traumatic moments in these books and there's traumatic moments in people's lives. And we don't want to kind of just say, oh, I'm sorry, and then move on, right? We want to process it together because that's the point of the group, is to build community and have engagement and being able to be vulnerable, knowing you're in a non-judgmental space.
What's the benefit of the group get together? What is it about getting together in a group that the benefits?
Knowing you're not alone, right? So we know a lot of seniors isolate, and especially seniors that don't fit into what society would consider normal boxes. Then you can become depressed, more anxious, more isolated. And I feel, and I've heard from the group members that they enjoy coming. They look forward to coming weekly. And we meet weekly. We meet every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:45 p.m. We provide the books. You can keep the book or you can pass the book on to somebody else. We're going to be posting them online so where you can follow along if you want to read at home and you're kind of thinking you want to join the group, but you're not quite sure. At least if you're catching up with us and you do pop up one day, you'll know what we're doing.
So staying up on time. People wouldn't even have to go to the group to be
And eventually
to be able to enjoy the book if it's at the library.
I
did a little bit of brushing up before this. I went back and read a James Baldwin book and a couple others that I'd had, and there's a lot of consistencies between what people do in their bedroom and the way people treat any outside group.
Right.
And one of the things I was really, that I had never thought of, is if everyone communicated their opinion of what I should or should not do, how would I feel about that? Because I was brought up in a charismatic Pentecostal background, and there was I was a pastor in those types in evangelical churches, and a consistent thing that I thought of or was that I encouraged people was, if someone said something that you didn't agree with, it was your responsibility to speak up so that they knew what you felt. But then I had some people do that to me, and I didn't like it as much when people spoke up to me and said, well, you know what? I really don't like how you do this. How can someone hold their beliefs and convictions and but yet be around someone whose beliefs and convictions are so different than from their own?
Right. The way I look at it is, so everybody's on their own individual journey. And when people talk about what their experiences are or their perspective and their worldviews, it's not attacking you as the individual that I'm talking to. It's not attacking any person. It's attacking this concept. It's the concept and ideologies that you're challenging, right? It shouldn't matter if there's two consenting adults who happen to be the same gender who fall in love. They should be allowed to have love. They should be allowed to just live life, right? Because another way I look at it is, I don't want to make someone uncomfortable just to make me comfortable. And I wouldn't expect someone to make me uncomfortable to keep them comfortable.
Not everyone holds that same perspective, Jennifer.
Yeah.
But if I'm not, clarity and comfort is the goal for this. But I'm not sure actual comfort can be universal if there's not a point of peace.
Yeah.
If there's not a point of you're okay being you. But are there... How does your grandma feel about this?
So, interestingly enough, I thought I came out to my grandma a long time ago, and probably last month we were talking, and she was found. I told her, and she said, "Oh, well, I didn't know that." And then she said, "Well, I still love you the same. You're still my granddaughter." And so it's just having those conversations, right? And being able to, I guess, really see people as humans, right? Like we talk about treat people how you want to be treated, yeah. The golden rule. Well, if I don't want to be treated horribly, I'm not going to treat somebody else horribly. And being kind just feels nice. It feels good to be kind, to do things, and to be around people without conditions attached or expectations attached, right?
Yeah.
There could be a straight couple, heterosexual couple, and a lesbian or a gay couple, and they can have different views, and they can have different beliefs, but they can still get along, right? Like, because no one's looking at the sexuality part. And that's what I've noticed is a lot of people are looking at the sexuality part.
Yeah.
And which, not understanding.
Which I don't mean to come across wrong.
No.
I don't care what anybody's doing in their bedroom.
Exactly.
I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't care, but I don't want to know.
Exactly. Like that's my point too.
I feel like I came to the point where I feel like everybody else's bedroom is kind of like my parents.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
So, Jennifer, this is a surprising trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we brought up the idea of talking through generational trauma and how that fulfills itself historically and socially. I, of course, knew race
mm-hmm.
was a big part
mm-hmm.
of our culture. And I know because I watch TV,
mm-hmm.
gender and sexuality is a current big deal in our culture. That's okay to call out as awful, evil, whatever. And I know a lot of theological people would say things. I've said things like, "Hate the sin, love the sinner."
Mm-hmm.
But when you transition that over to other areas like race,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can say, "I identify you as this thing I hate," but yet at the same time look you in the face and tell you that I express love.
Right.
It's a lot easier when they look like your granddaughter.
Yeah.
So I'm honored that you were willing to come in and talk about this. Before we go, Jennifer, are you willing to give the contact information for the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging? And if for anybody who would have further questions, conversations about this.
Because I understand it's scary and it is uncomfortable, right? And it's, you don't know. And my goal is to never ask anybody to disclose their sexual orientation or gender identity if they don't feel like they have that support. So I'm not going to ask the community to come out unless we have that support set up. So even though the group is based in Pueblo, if there is anybody out there who wants to talk, wants to find connections and communities, I can be reached at with the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging in the Family Caregiver Support Center. My contact number is 719-471-2096. And my extension is 108. And if email works better, it's jhorn, H-O-R-N, at ppacg.org.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I want to remind listeners that you can find out more information about our sponsors, Affordable Medical Supply, online at affordablemedmart.com or by calling 719-632-4036. And you can find out more information about our sponsor, Gentle Shepherd Home Care, online at gshc.com or gentleshepherdhomecare.com or by calling 719-359-8371. Be sure to join us next and every Sunday at 8 and Saturday at 10 right here and only on KRDO. News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM for another edition of Colorado's longest running and most listened to senior talk radio show, Senior Talk, presented by Affordable Medical Supply and Gentle Shepherd Home Care.